There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I'm not surprised that the Lightning lose their series against Florida. They did get down in a 3-0 hole. They lose 6-1 to the Panthers in Game 5. But listen, this is more about what happens from here on out than what happened in this series, because I think it's all sort of a continuation, if you really think about it, from last year when they lost and had a first-round exit as well. So,
no, I think the exits are very different, though.
Well, they were. No, that's true. That's very true.
I think the Lightning outplayed Toronto last year.
Yes.
They lost 3 overtime games.
Yes.
And thus the series, 4-2.
Yeah, this one was probably not as close. I mean, obviously losing.
This series, one, they're playing, I think, the best team in the East, maybe the best team in hockey. And they weren't good enough in this series. They did some things well. And the series, and particularly the game 5, was a lot closer than the score.
Well, yeah, 2 goals disallowed by goaltender interference, so that's rare.
Yes. And questionable goaltender.
Especially the second one. I'll almost understand the first one. The second one, you're going to have to explain to me a little bit more.
The second one is basically he brushed him in the paint, and so it's interference no matter what. And John Cooper even said, hey, the goalie gave up on the play. Kudos on him. He sold it.
Yeah, he did.
Gave up on the play. And the hard part of that is they called it off immediately, and there was very little contact, if any. They called it off immediately, which means the Lightning had to challenge just to see if it was a good goal or not, which meant they then went on the penalty kill after that.
Right.
Instead of them allowing the goal on the ice and then the challenge from there. But, but you know, as Cooper would say and others, them's the breaks.
Yeah.
I do not understand a league that consistently wants more goal scoring, wants to take goals off the board.
And then takes them away. Yeah.
You know, what was Anthony Duclair supposed to do as Forsling's holding him there?
I don't know.
And Bobrovsky played the puck and barely tapped it, and then Cirelli got it. Like, his motion was going the other way. It wasn't Cirelli that interfered with him. He tried to take the puck the other way. Cirelli stole it and put it in. Like, was Duclair's foot in the crease? Yes. Was he being held there by Forsling? Yes.
He was, but his foot kind of impeded his glove. Like, I could almost see that one. Even though I don't agree with it, I can almost understand where they were coming from. The second one I didn't get at all. And look, no matter what, to your point, you disallow 2 goals in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's tough sledding right there. And to me, it better be egregious before you call goaltender interference. And I didn't think either one met that standard, because they let a lot of stuff go in the playoffs. And it's hard to score goals. And you get a lot of dirty goals inside the crease just like that, right? So to me, you know, could you call that on a lot of goals in the postseason? Yeah, you probably could, you know. Now, having said that, the Lightning weren't very good at times in this game. You know, they allowed the long rebounds. They made it tough on themselves at times. And
their power play was pretty bad.
The power play had an opportunity. They didn't get shots. They didn't get shots.
Again, that's been the story of the series. I mean, they did get 4 power play goals in the series, and in game 4, it helped them win.
Yeah.
But other than that, the power play was pretty pedestrian at best.
I'd say
for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Outside game 4. Like, trying to pass the puck in the net on a team that's being super aggressive to you.
You can't do it.
No. I mean, they completely misplayed the power play for most of the series.
Yes.
They didn't take what was given to them.
You need shots on net, and you need rebounds, and you need, you know, just pound away at it as best you can. And they didn't get shots. And they didn't get shots.
Nope.
And that was really their downfall. They had opportunities. So listen, I'm willing to concede almost from the start, to be honest, that Florida is a better team. They're in the Stanley Cup playoffs or finals last year. I think they've been a better team all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, the regular season record would tell you that the postseason performance last year.
I mean, just the roster would tell you that, mm-hmm. right? And the way Bobrovsky was playing in particular, which was great, would tell you that they have a really good chance of repeating what they did a year ago and maybe going further. So there's no huge shame in losing to maybe the best team, and we'll see what happens the rest of the playoffs. Maybe the best team in the East is a tough draw. That's also on you, by the way, because you could have played better mm-hmm. throughout the regular season and gotten yourself in a better position, maybe not as a wild card team. So that all of that's part of the equation. But nonetheless, you know, some breaks did not go your way. And for the most part, the series was closer than the 4-1 would indicate, but it was still 4-1.
They were all essentially, the first three games were one-goal games. There was an empty netter in game three.
Yeah, this was a two-goal game that became a five-goal game, but because of the empty net.
Yeah, this was a close, each game was close. I think Florida was the better team. I think they deserved to win the series.
Absolutely.
I think the Lightning squandered some opportunities throughout the series.
Absolutely. And I would say this, too, that there will be a time we can get into this maybe another day or even tonight, but there will be a time when people will say, you have maybe the MVP of the league on your team, and what did he do in the postseason again? So I wouldn't say again.
I mean, he's been very good in the postseason in his career. There have been some moments where
there's been lapses, but yeah.
No, I mean, the Columbus series was
it was a while ago. Yeah,
this series, Florida. First of all, give credit to them. They flustered him. They were in his back pocket this whole series.
Yep. Like, no time, no space.
He doesn't like not having space.
No.
And Florida knows that, and they took it away from him. Yep. Now, it's up to the Lightning to figure out how to create some space.
How do we get him open?
Some opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they weren't able to do that consistently in this series.
You
know, he was a lot better in this series than he was back in Columbus in 19.
No, that's fair.
You know, I mean, I don't think he wasn't bad. He didn't look like an MVP in this series, but I didn't think he played poorly.
But that's my thing is like, mm-hmm. you need your best players to play their best. Yep. And he was not the star that they needed. Florida's stars showed up. He didn't necessarily. Now Stamkos did. And let's get into that because listen, even in the middle of the game, not the end of the game, in the middle of the game, they started showing, at least on the national broadcast, up close shots of Steven Stamkos and wondering, musing, mm-hmm. could this be the last game that he plays in a Lightning uniform? And the answer is, hell yes, it could be, right? And Stamkos waited until the last guy was off the ice before he went into the locker room after the game.
That's what the captain traditionally
but
does.
But that's what captains do.
And that's what Steven would do that even if he didn't have the C on.
He would, but they gave it the long, you know, it's all theater mm-hmm. of the mind and television and all that. So they gave it the long, you know, one shot and all of that. And you do wonder what is going through his mind at this point. Now, here's the thing. None of us know what the Lightning are thinking in terms of what kind of an offer, how many years, what's the total value, will there be an offer? Like, there's all kinds of things that we're not privy to. I believe that they will give him an opportunity to stay, whether it's something that he's looking for or not. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But
they can't not make him an offer.
I think they have to. He was productive. Mm-hmm. He was great in the playoffs, 41 goals. Like, he's still that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He still can absolutely affect a game, especially on the power play, but he's a captain. He showed up in the biggest moments of this series, even when others did not. So there's nothing that would indicate that, you know, sort of like Mike Evans, although older than Mike, that, you know, you're talking about a guy that can still get it done, mm-hmm. and he proved it. Having said all that, here's my sort of macro question for you, Steve, is that do you risk at this juncture becoming the Pittsburgh Penguins? And what I mean by that is, yeah, that's great. You got, you got Sid Crosby, you got Evgeny Malkin, you got Chris Letang, and you're never making the playoffs. Okay? But you got your stars. Mm-hmm. You know, you got those guys, man, boy. They mean a lot to your franchise. And guess what? You're not good enough. So when do you make the decision? Is it this year? Is it 3 years from now? Like, at some point, you're going to move on. They've moved on mm-hmm. from Vinny LeCavalier, mm-hmm. who was every bit Steven Stamkos back in the day.
Yep.
And Vinny went to Philly, and Vinny, frankly, was really never a factor again, in essence. He got paid. He got $11 million or whatever it was, but he was not showing up in the postseason. They, you know, moved on from Marty St. Louis at some point. I think it was kind of a rift between him and the GM when he wasn't named to Team Canada, but then he's here or there. But Marty finished his career in another uniform. This is what pro sports is about, right? Like, you don't always, it's not always the, you know, the happy ending. Now, whether he goes someplace else or not, Stamkos, much like LeCavalier and others, St. Louis, he's going to have his jersey in the rafters.
No
question. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And he'll always be thought of as a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's never going to change, no matter what the last line on his hockey card says. But I tell you, I think we're kind of at that juncture. You're at that crossroads, man. And it's not an easy decision, and it's not cut and dry. I heard some people saying today, I just know that you can't let go of Steven Stamkos. There's no way they're going to let him. And I disagree that there's no way. Of course there is.
They could have kept Alex Killorn. They could have kept Andre Palat. They could have kept those guys. You had to get rid of some other guys to do it. But
yeah.
Now, granted, they're not the same as Steven Stamkos. I'm not saying that.
No.
I don't think Julian Brisebois acts emotionally. His job is to make this team competitive now and in the future.
Absolutely.
And the hard part, hockey, let's compare it to football, where contracts aren't fully guaranteed and there's voidable years and pushing cap money around.
Oh, well, the salary cap's not. They say it's a hard cap, but it's not.
You hockey can manipulate is a it. Hard cap.
Yeah.
It is a, if your contract is $28 million over 4 years, it's $7 million a year on the cap every year. You can't go, well, it's $2 million this year and $10 next. The cash could be different. You may get paid more cash early and less later. They can do that.
But you can't defer things to years that you're never going to play.
But for cap's purposes, it's even.
Yeah.
And it's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, it's a lot harder to change out a roster in hockey when you have contract signed than it is
a hard cap.
Because, you know, the football with the voidable years and pushing everything back and, you know.
You can create years that they're never going to play and you know.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't matter.
Right. And, you know, as the Lightning set this team up, starting back with Stamkos' contract back in 2016, Hedman's in 2017, and then the list. You never anticipated that the cap was going to stay relatively flat for four straight years.
Right.
Once COVID hit.
COVID hit, yeah.
So that changed the whole dynamic of everything on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the players you were going to lose over time, because when you're good, you have a lot of good players and they want to get paid, as they should. But guys like McDonough would probably still be here had the cap gone up the same as it was, you know, relative the same every year. Like, you, a couple of those guys would still be here. And re-signing Stamkos at this point would be a lot easier. But the cap didn't. And so the reality is, it, you know, you're dealing with a cap that's going to go up about $4 million next year. Hagel's getting a $5 million raise. So that eats up your increase of cap right there. And you still have some roster space you're going to need to fill. You really don't have any other free agents outside some minimum contract guys like Luke Glendening, Tyler Mott, some of those guys, Calvin DeHaan, Hayden Fleury. Those guys are free agents. So I think you've got around $10, $11 million to play with. But you've got to sign Stamkos, and you're going to need some more depth, because that's only going to give you like nine forwards at that point
mm-hmm.
on your roster and that. So you don't have that. I mean, so signing Stamkos gets difficult. It's not impossible. And anybody who says they know what's going to happen doesn't.
They don't know, because I don't think the Lightning know. I mean, you know, until they have that conversation, which they didn't have before the season.
I'm guessing Julian and Matthew Darche and the team there already know what they think he's worth and what they're going to offer. When that happens, this week, next week, whatever, then it's going to be in Stevens' court.
Yeah.
Is he willing to play for that? Or does he want to wait till late June, till July 1 when free agency hits and explore what's out there? And until those things happen, anybody who thinks they know doesn't.
No, you're guessing and you're hoping and you're speculating and you're wishing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that greater players than Steven Stamkos have finished their careers with teams that didn't draft them, you know, and that's going to happen in every sport, everywhere.
Well, the one issue in sports, and I don't know how you can't really change it because it's hard that way, particularly with salary caps, is that you're typically paid based on your past performance, not what you're going to do or what you did that year.
Right.
And so, you know, rookies who break out get paid very little.
Mm-hmm.
And veterans that are really good probably get paid more than they should based on their production late in their career.
Yep.
And if you end up paying a lot of those veterans that you're overpaying for what they're producing, you get your team into big time trouble.
Yes, you can.
With a salary cap.
Yep.
And so that's always the, you know, players are torn because, you know, they want to get paid what they're worth. But you probably should have got paid that in your most productive years. And Stamkos is, look, he signed an 8-year contract at $8.5 million a year. So he's been paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's made money. But he's still a very productive player, even at age 34, that deserves a good set. Maybe it's not $8.5 million a year, but he's not making, you know, $1 or $2 million next year.
Right.
Based on his production. But who knows what his production this year, next year will be as you get older. And you know, father time catches up to everybody, including Tom Brady a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, if he retires again, don't call me. But
hey, he said he's available.
Yeah, he's always available. I think that you know, will it just be money? No. But there could be an imbalance between what some other team is willing to pay Stamkos and what the Lightning is willing to pay him. And what does it mean for him to play in one sweater? All that factors in, right?
Well, there has to be an imbalance because if everything's equal, if everybody's offering the same contract, he's staying.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously he's going to get offered more money someplace else. That's what
you're going to offer him enough to make it worth his while.
There's going to be a team, whether it's an extra year guaranteed, you know, more per year that mm-hmm. averages something significant. And then also, you know, like there's no way around this either. Is like they decided not to negotiate with him at the start of the year. I keep coming back to that. Now, that was the same thing that Mike Evans went through, and ultimately he decided to remain in Tampa. And that might be Stamkos' decision too when he really weighs it. But when you put yourself as an organization in that situation where it's the player's choice, he can do what he wants to do, you know that you've risked losing him. And they were willing to put him out there and do that. And I don't know if that's a thing with Stamkos or not. He certainly proved his worth this year and then some, and certainly in the postseason he was their best player in terms of scoring and other aspects. But the Lightning put him in this position. The Lightning decided to let him play it out. And he never wanted it to be to go this far, but it did. And so you also wonder, like, are there still going to be some hurt feelings? They're like, look, you know, you basically allowed me to play out my free agent year and I produced. Now I'm going to be able to, now I got the hammer and I'm going to go out here and see what I'm worth and whether or not I'm worth it to you. You just don't know. Like, I don't know Stamkos well enough to know if mm-hmm. there's pride. You know, pride is always a big thing in sports and your value is what somebody's willing to pay you. So, you know, a lot of those things kind of run hand in hand. But look, at some point, Steve, this team has a good nucleus still, right? With Vasilevsky, with Kucherov, with Point, mm-hmm. with Braid,
with Sergachev and Sorelli. Sergachev
and Sorelli. And they're a good team, right? Regardless, Stamkos obviously is an enormous part. He's the captain, he's the glue. Hedman, another, you know, legacy piece, right? That
his contract's up at the end of next season.
Right. So you have a decision to make with him as well. So I guess if you decide that you need to turn to the future, the sooner you turn to it, the quicker you get to where you're ultimately wanting to be. And that's kind of what the larger sense is like, look, we have a bunch of really good players still. Mm-hmm. And do we want to tie up this amount of money for a guy that we are kind of hoping has a year, maybe two, maybe three left in him? So it's a tough calculus, and we can all make arguments either way, but that's going to be the story of the offseason. That's going to be, and there was some moments there, and I know he was just doing his captain stuff and waiting for guys to leave the ice, but you do have to wonder what's going to go through his mind when he pulls that sweater off. You know, there has to be a twinge of feeling that, wow, I don't know, maybe I'm not back here next year. Maybe this is the last time I wear a Bolt. And that's emotional. I've been through it. I've seen players do it.
You saw Alex Killorn do it last year.
Yeah. 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 And Alex, I mean, think about the number of years he played, you know, and all the things that he was part of. And it's tough. And Alex is never going to leave Tampa. He's always going to have his house on the water.
Now, Alex pretty much knew he was probably gone. I mean,
yes.
Lightning made him an offer, you know, reports of what it was, but you knew it was going to be low. You knew it was going to be low.
Yeah.
So he had a good chance. I mean, Stamkos, the decision is going to be, I mean, he's going to get an offer. It's going to be lower than other teams, but that's the nature of free agency anyway. You want to get a free agent, you got to overpay. I mean, that's kind of the nature of what free agency is.
Yeah. Somebody's going to go out there and blow him away.
Yeah. Unless you're just so miserable in a place and you want to get out, which that's not the case with Stamkos
here. No.
You know, so Stamkos, the decision's his.
Yeah.
It's you know, when Julian Breezeball decided not to negotiate before the season, he left it now. Now it's completely in Steven Stamkos' hands. You know, he's the one who controls it. Lightning can make offers, can talk to him, can try to convince him, whatever. But it's ultimately in his court now, and free agency starts July 1.
No, I agree. And I guess the other question is, now that they've lost in the first round of the last two playoff series, how good are they going to be moving forward with or without Steven Stamkos? In other words, what are they lacking? You know, can they make this team a viable, not just playoff team, but one that can contend for a Stanley Cup? We know they still got great pieces on this
Absolutely.
Team, starting with the goaltender. To me, if you have Vasilevsky, you have a chance every single year. There's no question about that. And they've got superstars, all-stars throughout the team that we've talked about. But can this group win another Stanley Cup? How far away are they? They've lost in the first series the last 2 years. Granted, I think the draw was tough this year for them. And I think Florida might be in the Stanley Cup and may win the whole thing. Time will tell. But does this feel like to you a team that's, you know, in some form or fashion going to be back a year from now and not just getting into the playoffs, but actually advancing in the playoffs and not losing a first round series?
Well, that's the big question. Are they going to get back to the playoffs next year? I you can absolutely see that.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, if you don't have Stamkos, okay, you've got some questions, but that does free up some money to add some pieces somehow.
Yep.
The hardest part for the Lightning, and what this season truly exposed more than the last few, is that they don't have a ton of depth. They've got their big 5-6 forwards and a couple good defensemen, but they don't have the depth.
Yeah. Third, fourth line needs to be better.
You know, they changed out a lot, and they added some pieces, and some of them were okay. Some of them didn't work out this year. But they don't have – it's the attrition of the cap being flat and having won those titles where players then wanted to get paid. I mean, you can go through the laundry list of players that they've lost.
Coleman, oh, my goodness.
Gaudreau, Killorn, Palat. Yeah. Colton. I mean, you go through the whole laundry list of everybody that's, you know, how many tribute videos have we seen at Amalie Arena
every week?
Maroon and Perry and Bogosian. And, I mean, just keep going down the list. Like, you've lost so many guys. And because to get there, they traded a lot of pieces, prospects and picks. the prospect pool in Syracuse is not deep. I think there's guys in Syracuse that, like Mitchell Chafee, who's come up and is being productive as a third and fourth liner. And you're seeing, you know, Lilleberg and Crozier this year have been, you know, really good on the back end as a third defensive pair. Whether they're going to be a top pair or a top two pair in the league, we'll see. But I think they have a lot of guys in Syracuse that can fill third and fourth line roles, but not high end guys. And so at some point you're going to lose Stamkos, whether it's this year or in a couple years retired, whatever. You know, he's 34 going on 35 next year. You know, at some point he's not going to be there anymore. Like, as these guys go away, how are you going to replace that high end talent?
Yeah.
Because they haven't had first round draft picks for years, and they have, right. You know, and that's going to be the challenge that Julian Breezeball has now. And, you know, as you plan out teams, and these guys are planning out teams 4, 5, 6 years in advance. Like, you know, okay, we signed this guy in 3 years. We expect him to be here, and this will probably be what his contract looks like. You're not always 100% accurate, but that flat cap screwed everybody up. It screwed the whole league up, not just the Lightning. You know, as you were planning on, when you signed Ryan McDonagh to a contract, you didn't anticipate that $6.8 million would be a problem 4 years into that contract.
Right.
Because as you added $3-4 million a year to the cap, that number gets smaller as a percentage of the cap. So it doesn't become an issue. And so, you know, it's not to make an excuse because, like I said, the whole league had to deal with a flat cap. But the Lightning had a lot of really good players at the same time. And were in their prime window to win. And they did. And so now the challenge becomes difficult because you did that. But mission accomplished. Now you got to figure out how you can get it back to there. And you've got good players.
Yeah.
But is it enough right now?
Well, it clearly has not been enough the last 2 years. Regardless of the draws, you know, to go out in the first round, that's not what they're about. And it's not what they've been about. And as you get further away, you know, from the Stanley Cups, then it becomes sort of nostalgia at that point. You know, like, how good are they really at this juncture?
You realize that first cup was 4 years ago now. Next year is the fifth year anniversary.
It's a long time ago. Yeah. Really was. So.
Granted, it didn't happen until September that year, but.
Good point. Yeah.
Because of the bubble and restarting and all that, but.
Yeah.
Look, there's a lot of good to take from this Lightning season, too. And let's not forget, Vazzy missed the first 20 games.
Yeah.
And wasn't himself when he came back. Of course, I don't think anybody would coming back from back surgery at a position like that.
Mm-hmm.
They brought a lot of guys from Syracuse up, and you're seeing some good possibilities there. You know, Mitchell Chafee has come up and stayed.
Yeah.
Emil Lilleberg looks pretty good back there, and Max Crozier playing with him looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Stamkos had another really good year. Kucherov was fantastic all season.
MVP, yeah.
No question in my mind. I don't know if he'll win it, but he should.
He's a candidate, yeah.
He absolutely should. Mm-hmm. There was lots of good things from this season. I mean, halfway through the season, you questioned whether they were going to make the playoffs.
No, I know. Look,
and they made it pretty securely by the end.
They did. They show the heart of a champion. I know they went 9 out of 12 or something like that, or 11. I mean, they rose when it mattered. All that's true. It's just how long, whether you pay Stamkos, you pay Hedman down the road, like, how long can you keep the band together, and are you going to advance beyond the first round of the postseason?
It doesn't help, and this is not an excuse, and they were the leaders of it for a while, but they are, no question about it, the toughest division in hockey, and have been for 4 or 5 years now.
I think so, yeah.
There's
no
question. Your top four are Florida, Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay.
That's as good as any team, yeah.
It's why Detroit and Buffalo and Ottawa, even every year when you say, this is the year they're going to make it.
Yeah, they didn't ever make it, yeah.
They can't because the top four in front of them are still better.
That's right.
Like, there's no division your top four teams have been this good for this length of time.
For that long, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not even close as far as the toughest division year in and year out.
Yeah.
At the top.
And I'm not saying they can't compete, because I think they have and they would. I'm just wondering if there's going to reach a point. Are we there yet? I don't know if we're there yet. Where you begin to change the structure of your team. And that's all, I'm sure, for many podcasts from now in terms of negotiations and what we read and all of that stuff. But it is fascinating that while I was sitting there watching him wait for his players to come off the ice, there was a very poignant moment that you just wonder. Mm-hmm. And he'll be asked about it, but I don't think he'll share it.
You know, he was asked, it said, were you thinking in the last moments of this could be your final? And he says, no, I'm thinking about trying to score a goal and help win a
focused.
Game.
Like that's all
BS. It's about pride on the ice and pride in our team. And I don't think it's all BS because I think that's all true as well.
I think they play that way, but you can't tell me that after the game was over, while he's waiting for those last two skaters to get off.
Well, they asked him more about as the play was winding down, not as he was sitting on the bench.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe they asked the wrong question.
I mean, listen, it's emotional for all of us, right? Anytime you're done with something and you leave a chapter like that behind, you know, I didn't play squat, and I can remember my last baseball game in college. I hung my cleats up. I literally hung them up. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment there where you realize I'm not putting on the uniform. Now, he's going to play, whether he plays here or not, so his career is not over. But that does go through your mind.
We just saw one here in Tampa a few months ago. Jason Kelce in that playoff game here in Tampa. You could see he was done at the end of that.
Yeah.
The way he went to his teammates, the coaches.
Yes.
The tears in his eyes. Like you knew he was done. I mean, it took a couple months to announce it, but he knew.
Played out in front of all of us. Yeah.
We watched it. That's tough. I mean, that's their dream.
Listen, I watched Tom Brady the last retirement, not the one he came back from, but the last time he played. His mom and dad were there after they got steamrolled in the postseason. And watching the two of them walk off with him, I got emotional because I thought to myself, wow, what a ride as a parent, as a father, a mom that you've been through with this guy who's 44 years old or 43 years old, whatever it was. And as they walked through the tunnel into the sort of gate D area there, they were both crying. Both parents were very teary-eyed. And almost at that moment, you kind of knew I know he came back, but I know how things went this year. And, you know, this is Tom Brady, right? Walking off after a game in Raymond James. And you're thinking, wow, that could be the end of a Hall of Fame career. And so far it has been. So you do think about those things. I thought about it. And obviously the announcers and the broadcasters made a big deal about it. And nothing's probably been decided at this point. But it is a story. It's a very, very big story. And if this is the way that you remember Steven Stamkos, remember him as the best player on the ice for the Lightning in the playoff series, because that's what he was. You know, he scored, he laid it all out there, he played like a captain, and that's really all you can ask of the guy is to give you everything you got. And he did that. But
one more note, Cooper in his post-game press conference was asked about Stamkos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said a lot of great things, and at the end he said, look, he feels like he should be a Bolt for life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something Julie and him have to, you know, work out. Or I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah,
for Cooper to go out and say feels like he believes for life,
he shows.
It shows that's the direction that the franchise wants to go.
Most likely, now, that's the window into the soul of the franchise.
Can they get it? The financials correct to where they're both sides are happy. We'll see.
Yeah. And usually in those situations, you give, you take, and then cooler heads prevail. So that's a good sign that he said that. Really, really good sign.
John's very careful with his words.
He is. Very measured. Yeah.
If you ever listen to him, he's very calculating. He's a lawyer.
He's always very careful how
and what he says.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to convince the jury, so he's not going to give up something that's,
So if he's saying he feels like he should be a Bolt for life, it doesn't mean, hey, the Lightning think they're going to walk away from him.
Right.
Like, now, you know, ultimately it is Steven's choice.
Yeah, it is.
He's a free agent or will be come July 1, so it's his choice.
Yeah. But it helps having an agent that's level-headed and been there before and all those things. And
that's why we have agents.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a tough ending because I really felt like they needed a break on one of those two goals that were disallowed because of goaltender interference. You don't see that call much in one game, much less twice in a playoff game. That's sort of the difficulty that I have with it. And I'm sure everybody can rightfully argue that, yes, in fact, it was maybe goaltender interference, depending on how you saw it. But that was tough. So it's a tough ending to the season.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'll tell you who's having a tough beginning of the season, and that's your Tampa Bay Rays. Although, hats off to Ryan Pepiot.
He's been fantastic this year.
My goodness. He's matching Tyler Glasnow almost pitch for pitch at this point.
I asked you, as we were in the fifth or sixth inning, I was texting you.
Right.
And I said, can Pepiot go the distance? Because there's no way the Rays bullpen's holding a 1-0 lead.
It's not happening. And yet.
And they almost didn't.
No, they almost, it was wacky. Jason Adams somehow got out of it.
Jake Bauer is taking this, I mean, momentous swing. I mean, the biggest backswing, one-handed, left-handed swing I've ever seen to nail Pinto in the head and cost his team the game.
Crazy, crazy ending.
On the drop third strike.
Yeah.
It got through Pinto, but he took the biggest backswing, one-handed, I'm posing for the camera swing ever, and cost his team a run.
Yeah.
That would have tied
him. He sure did. He sure did.
Like, just craziness. But Pepiot was fantastic.
And he's been good. He's been good all year. From that standpoint.
And you knew it was going to be tough for the Rays when the first three batters get on without a hit.
And they don't score.
And they get one run. They ground into a double play and then a strikeout.
Yeah, you don't even get an RBI for the double
yeah,
play.
Yeah, no. Paredes didn't get an RBI. But yeah.
Yeah.
In the first inning, it was a hit by pitch, walk, and then ground in the double play, but a run scores. And
run scores.
And you only
game.
Get one run in that inning. And you knew it was going to be a struggle.
Yeah. And maybe he was motivated. I mean, Pepiot, you know, where they're playing, I mean, he's got a lot of family and friends from Indiana, and as well as from Butler University, where he's from. Struck out 7, threw hard. I think the velocity is what surprised me. He averaged 95.3 miles per hour on his pitches, which is up even from where he started at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, the bullpen's been beat up. You have, you know, Chris Devensky went out with the right knee injury, tendonitis or whatever. Pete Fairbanks has been out with the nerve thing in his fingers. Even Colin Poche showed up and had back injuries, you know, or tightness at least. So he ended up on the injury list. So, you know, they had to kind of scramble and figure out how are we going to cover this. And they did it with Armstrong, Sean Armstrong in the 7th, and Kevin Kelly came in the 8th. And, of course, Adam shut it down in the 9th. So they were very resourceful, and they got the win. And that's important because – you're trying to get back to 500, stay relevant. That's all you can do at this point. But you don't see many. I don't care how many games you look at in box scores, Steve, you don't see many 1-0 games. It's just rare.
No.
It's rare to win a game 1-0, especially on the road when you don't have the last at bat.
Yeah, especially as you just gave up how many runs to the White Sox?
Yeah, exactly. You lost 3 to the 3-win White Sox, and so now you go out and actually beat a team. That's a lot better. So, anyway, it was an eventful week. We'll have more about the Lightning and what their postmortem is. If it's today, tomorrow, whenever John Cooper talks and the players, we'll bring it to you here on Sports Day Tampa Bay, also in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. And, you know, I mean, look, as far as if hockey now being over, the attention is going to turn to the Rays. They're treading water at best, so they may be headed for a shakeup.
But they got
as
some
well.
New threads.
They did. Listen, my personal opinion, and maybe I'm the get off my lawn guy. I didn't like them. I didn't quite like the darkness of them. A lot of ode to, you know, years gone by. I'll tell you what is sick though, and I absolutely want one of these. So if you listen to me, Rays, send it to me. The hats are sick.
Like, I love the Ray fire. Logo. I love the Ray logo with the Skyway Bridge in it.
They're fire. It's not the old Ray logo. It's a new one.
Yep. Yep.
It's fire. It's so, and the colors, black and purple, just amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
My kids love the uniforms, which is,
that's, they love the whole thing. And that's their audience, right? Yeah.
I think my youngest son would have liked a little more color to it.
Yeah.
Like, he likes the neon and the, you know, and there is some of the accents of that. I think he would like a little more of that, but he does love them.
Yeah. And it says Tampa Bay, which, have they ever worn Tampa Bay across their chest? I don't know.
Not since the 08 rebrand of the Rays.
Wow.
They've not had a jersey that says Tampa Bay on the front. It's always been the Rays or the Sunburst or.
Yeah, that's wild. So that, I think that's pretty cool.
You know, the throwback ones say Devil Rays. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have not had one that says Tampa Bay on it. So,
yeah, that's very cool. Well, it'll make for good Christmas gifts because that's where we're headed, man.
Well, how about Father's Day's coming up? So,
there you go. Yeah, you know, I can't wear
one. Why wait till Christmas?
I'm too old to wear one, so we have this jersey.
Although they have more than just the jersey. They have sweatshirts and polos and
yeah. Well,
they have everything.
Again,
hats.
I think the hats fire. I do. Yeah. But I'm not going to read the oath of office. I really can't appear to even remotely root for a team or not. And I kind of put my fan card away. So, you know, when it's all said and done and I'm not working anymore, then we'll see if there's any allegiance there. Now, my kids,
they have a ton of these hats, too.
Do they?
There's a ton. I'm just on their.
Is it the store. same design though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, all different color combinations of the hat.
Oh, they do have different colors. See, I love the black
light
and
blue,
purple,
some dark blue, some raised blue.
Oh, really? Do say
some green? Some? Oh, they have all.
Oh, I might have
now.
To look it up.
I hadn't gone to this yet. I just look at their team store right now.
I gotta look it up because that might be a game changer right there.
Yeah, they have a lot of different. Different iterations, different color schemes and stuff.
I think they look fantastic. So I love the hats. Lukewarm on the uniforms. They may change my mind, but
my boys will be taking, you know, weeks to figure out which hat they want.
Because they got so many, right? Yeah, stop buying them those things, man. You're spoiling them, let me tell you. So tomorrow, listen, we got time for mailbag. I've had a couple of mailbag questions. You can always submit those. We might read them on the air tomorrow. Just depends on what else is going on. Obviously, the lightning season is over, but you know the Rays are going to continue all throughout the summer, and the Buccaneers will have mini camp next week. Looks like Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the Bucs mini camp, but I'll be out there and able to keep you guys posted on TampaBay.com. Send your questions if you have any email to us on X or on Twitter at SportsDayTB, which me. On Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email is rstroud@tampabay.com. Lightning season is over. Race season is just beginning. The Bucs are also sort of in their off season program as they just begun phase one, going to phase two here shortly. So they'll have a rookie mini camp next weekend. Lots to look forward to. Appreciate you guys listening. As always, for Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.